Section 4. You will hear a lecture on providing tsunami warnings. First, you have some time to look at questions 31 to 33. Now listen carefully and answer questions 31 to 33.
Good morning. In our last lecture, we discussed various natural disasters. Today, I'd like to focus on early warning systems, beginning with those for tsunamis. Tsunami warnings for most of the Pacific Ocean are provided by the Pacific Tsunami Warning Center in Hawaii. It was established in 1949. Following the 1946 Aleutian Island earthquake and a tsunami that resulted in 165 casualties. There is also a National Tsunami Warning Center in Alaska, whose role is to issue warnings for the west coast of North America, which was set up in 1967. After the catastrophic 2004 Indian Ocean tsunami, which resulted in the deaths of almost 250,000 people, a United Nations conference was held in January 2005, which resolved to set up an early warning program for this region. As a result of this decision, a system is now in place to provide warnings to Indonesia and other areas that were badly affected by the 2004 disaster.
Before you hear the next part of the lecture, you have some time to look at questions 34 to 37. Now listen and answer questions 34 to 37.
In order to provide warning of an imminent tsunami, scientists need to ensure that underwater earthquakes are detected. This is achieved by installing pressure sensors on the ocean floor. These sensors send the details of the earthquake to a buoy floating on the surface, which then transmits the relevant data to a satellite orbiting above the Earth. The satellite relays the information to an alert center where a decision can be made as to whether to issue a warning or even order an evacuation of residents who may be at risk.
Before you hear the rest of the lecture, you have some time to look at questions 38 to 40. Now listen and answer questions 38 to 40.
The detection and prediction of a tsunami by a warning center is not sufficient without an effective system to warn those living in the areas that will be affected. All tsunami warning systems feature multiple lines of communication, such as SMS, email, fax, radio, and TV, to guarantee the message gets through. It also enables messages to be sent to the emergency services and armed forces, as well as to those responsible for operating warning systems like sirens. Despite our best efforts, tsunamis still pose a serious threat. The speed at which tsunami waves travel over open waters means that even the most modern warning system cannot protect against a tsunami if the epicenter of an earthquake is in close proximity to the shore. Such a tsunami occurred off the coast of Japan as a result of an earthquake on the 12th of July, 1993. 202 people on the small island of Okishiri, near Hokkaido, lost their lives, while many more were missing or injured. This tsunami struck just 3 to 5 minutes after the earthquake, and the majority of victims were caught while trying to flee or reach secure areas after surviving the earthquake. While the potential for rapid devastation from a tsunami remains, warning systems can still be effective. For instance, a major earthquake off the west coast of the United States would not give much warning time for those in that region, but people in Asia on the other side of the Pacific might have over 12 hours before any tsunami arrived, giving them some time to evacuate areas deemed to be at high risk. This is perhaps the most compelling reason for international tsunami warning systems.
That is the end of Section 4. You now have half a minute to check your answers.